In this episode, Pastor Dean Yoder talks about the Bride of Christ making herself ready for her groom.
This is Awaken Online, a virtual library of the Sunday morning messages at Awaken Church in McMinnville, Oregon.
It's been a fun morning. It's been interesting. It's been a little bit. Doesn't feel like the normal, and it's been great. I got a text from or a phone call from my daughter a little bit ago because she was having manageable car troubles, right? So just keep that. She's like, she's not stuck on the freeway somewhere. Anyhow, she was having manageable car troubles, and so I was on the phone with her, and then she, texts me back. We had a little conversation. She put some oil in it, and things are better. But she sent me a text, while I'm standing back there worshiping, that she loved me, and I was just like, she was having these car troubles, and she was thankful that somebody was there to help her out. And I was thinking about troubles and worries just a little bit this week. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus told us to not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will bring its own worries, right? Today's trouble is enough for today, he said. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, tomorrow's worries aren't usually today's troubles. usually what I worry about today doesn't happen tomorrow. Right? Usually something else happens that I weren't expecting. I was like thinking, I wrote this little note, said, tell me about the things that you were worrying about yesterday that came true today or changed today because of yesterday's worries. I'm just trying to be confusing here a little bit. That's all. What about the troubles of today that you weren't expecting? Are you disappointed that you didn't worry about them yesterday? Are you disappointed that you didn't worry about today's troubles yesterday because you wasted time worrying about other things that didn't happen? And then I thought, when yesterday's worries were provided for today, what was your response? Ring finder, diamond finder. What was your response? You trusted him through that. Your response was, woohoo, right? Thankfulness, excitement. And I was like, we should have just started there in the begin with instead of worry. The definition of worry is being pulled apart. It's being pulled in opposite directions in the Bible. And it keeps you from getting anything done. Like, you can't get anything done when you're pulled in two different directions, except for make taffy, I guess. But it causes you to not be able to take action. It can cause a lack of ability to take action because all the energy is put into the existence of the problem instead of a plan to solve it. And I'm just being honest, that's me sometimes. Or not all the time. I mean, I like to fix things. I'm constantly like jumping in as soon as I see something broke or my mind starts working that way. But on the things that I don't know how to fix, sometimes I go to worry. But that's just a little piece that I was throwing in there this morning. That's not really where we want to go. We're going to make sure that we have time for prayer today. I'd encourage everybody to get prayer. I'm going to encourage you again at the end. And hopefully this helps a little bit. We had a wedding last summer for my son. And while there was 1,000 things to prepare for, like the preparation that mattered most to us was the preparation of the bride. Like, that's what everybody was there for. Like, I don't know, ladies, those of you who had a formal wedding, how much effort and time did you put in to preparing for your wedding day? Like making sure everything was glam and glitter and fun. Or maybe you're the opposite of that and you want to make sure everything was just nice and easy. But there's a lot of preparation that goes in to preparing the bride for the groom to receive and for the wedding to take place. And so, because as if we think about how, is everybody familiar that the Bible calls the church Jesus? Let me just say, let's the Bible is it's his word, it's his book, right? So in the Bible, Jesus calls his church the bride of Christ. Now, when I think about that as a guy, sometimes the picture of a guy in a wedding dress comes to mind. And I'm like, I'm not really comfortable with that, God. Okay? Just not really. I guess today it's a lot more doable, but I'm just not really comfortable. But he refers to us as the bride of Christ, something that's going to prepare itself to be beautiful, because there's going to be a marriage between him and us, right? And I don't have a bunch of those verses out to like go and prove it to you. You can go back and look and see if you believe me or not. But I don't think too many people would argue with me that Jesus looks at us as his church, as his bride. Something. And so as a bride, I was thinking, well, we need to prepare. See, most of my decisions to marry into a family was based on the time I spent with my bride. Most of my decisions to marry into a family with a good father was based on the time I spent with my bride. Are you following me? Does that make sense? Like, I found out about the family I was getting into. I found out about the good father because of the time I spent with my bride. And although in human world, you know, families aren't perfect, but the world and people who don't believe yet, they're going to come into the family by the time they spend with you guys, by the time they spend with the bride. And so every morning, every day, or however you want to look at it, how often, like, preparation needs to be on our mind for this wedding. And I'm not trying to be heavy on, like, holiness here or anything, but the unique thing about the preparation of the bride is that all we have to do is to do something in Christ, and he helps with the preparation. He does the work. Like, our work is to step in and say, I want to do this. I want to change. I want to be like this. I want to be something that the Father and the Son are excited about. And there's no doubt that you were created in his image, and he loves you, and he cares about you, and he thinks you're wonderful and awesome. But, like, as the church, as the bride, preparation matters. Like, Friday we came here and the Humley family had a funeral. And it was George and Petra's mother. And I didn't really know her. I'd probably shook her hand a few times. And it was a great service. They did a great job. But they told the story about how they met, how his mother and his father met. Now, their mother was full-blooded Mexican. And the father was full-blooded Norwegian. And he was tall, and she was 5'2". And she worked at this store, and she couldn't figure out why he kept coming. And then he started, like, asking her out. He had an interest in her. And she's like, no. And she kept, nah. But he kept on it, right? He kept pursuing. Some non-offensively, okay? Right? Nowadays, it's like, you know, get in trouble. Also. Like, but, yeah. A good pursuit, you know? He had a good pursuit going. And finally, she said, yes. And I thought, man, what about as a body of Christ, like, what if we could pursue people that way without being offensive? you know, without them being offended and walk away. I understand that the gospel message offends some and it draws others. I get that. But, like, what if we gave up our right to be right? What if we gave up our right to be right as the body of Christ? We know, listen, the Bible is full of truth. You can speak truth. And some people are going to be offensive, and some people were offended to what Jesus said. And I don't want a weak gospel. I don't want to just accept everything and let everything happen. Everything's all good. But the people, like, today, like, in our world, like, I have a hard time understanding it because of how I grew up. But a lot of people in our country, they haven't even heard the story of Jesus. They weren't brought up by a family that knew the story of Jesus. They weren't brought up by grandparents who embraced the story of Jesus. They may have even been brought up with families who rejected it. And they don't know the good news. They might only know bad news. They only may think that we are full of bad news. And so, as we prepare as a bride to be attractive, to get people into this family of God so they discover Jesus and they discover God as a good father, what if it was something more like, his name was Paul, pursuing Dolores, I got it right. What if it was more like that than it was letting people know how right I am? When the Gentiles, in Acts 15, you know, the gospel first presented to the Jewish people, and then Peter started having success with the Gentiles, the people that weren't Jews, the bad people, the non-believers, right? They had a total different set of beliefs. They were enemies. But this gospel message transferred over generations and people groups and everything. It transcended everything. And the Lord made a way for Jews and Gentiles to come in. And these Gentiles had become believers. And now there were some Jews who were saying, you guys need to start following the rules. You guys need to have yourself circumcised. I'm like, wow, it's extreme. You guys need to start following the laws of Moses. And it caused a problem because that's not what the apostles thought they should do. And there became this clash. And so the apostles, they came together and they had a meeting. And I've been in that meeting when we're trying to decide the right thing to do for people. Or sin or something we're not sure about. I've been in that meeting. It's not fun. They take a long time. The apostles, they come together and they have a meeting. And in Acts 15, 24, it says, we understand that some men from here have troubled you. This is the letter they sent to him, to the Gentile believers. We understand that some men from here have troubled you and upset you with their teaching, but we did not send them. Apostles say, that wasn't us. We didn't do that. So we decided, having come to complete agreement, to send you official representatives along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are sending Judas and Silas to confirm what we have decided concerning your question. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements. You must abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood or the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. If you do this, you will do well. Three things. Three things that might kind of get them away from what I see, what their old religions thought were a priority. Three things that we know that weren't healthy. In our post they call it a post-Christian nation. We're in our post-Christian, like not everybody's on the same page with values. We will have people coming in that may be curious. They might not be followers yet. They might have believed already. And what kind of things as a body do we want to ask them to do? What kind of burdens should we lay on them? Should it be just do whatever you want? Nope, that's not what the apostles did. They came up with some healthy things. They came up with some good things. Let's start there, and then let's let the Holy Spirit and Jesus start working on you, and let's start walking with them. Like, I don't know how we expect people to get it if we aren't walking with them, right? And I know that these guys were discipling them. I know that they were walking with them. I know that they were teaching them. And let's just see how their salvation plays out with God's help and with our help. And it starts with us. It starts with that, back to that preparation of the bride. Now, I made special intent this morning to talk to our prayer team. We should be famous for prayer. We should be famous for, like, receiving prayer. We should be famous for giving prayer. And we had a conversation with the guys yesterday in the men's group, and we all had a little different thought. There were different thoughts on prayer and answers to prayer. But I just want to encourage you that God hears your prayers this morning. Some of you may be questioning whether God hears your prayers or not. And you think you've prayed for something for a long time, and you don't want to break this rule that says when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So God knows what you need, so you don't have to repeat your prayers as if God is not hearing you, but what you can do is persist in prayer because you know he hears you. It's a different attitude. My kids used to keep asking because they knew I heard them. And they knew if they kept asking long enough, sooner or later I'd probably cave. They knew I was hearing them. They knew I was hearing them. God hears your prayers. I want to hit that this morning. God hears your prayers. If you're not sure about that, God hears your prayers, and your persistence in prayer is a sign of faithfulness, not just desperation. You're good and faithful if you're persistent. And then sometimes you get what you've asked for, and then sometimes you get something that's better or different, but is the answer. So I've kind of heard that nothing happens without prayer in the kingdom of God. And so I've talked to the prayer Joyce and Jed, and they've got people who will pray with you this morning. Joyce and Jed are going to come up here now. I asked them to think about things that we're going to try to pray for specifically, but then we were going to open it up to have people who will pray for you generally. And I think if you're married, if you're divorced, if you're single, if you have kids, if you don't have kids, if you have a job, if you have... you don't have to get prayer just because you have a problem. Like, actually, pre-prayer is part of preparation. Be pre-prayered. Say that a lot. Pre-prayered helps with the preparation. Like, just receiving, like, sometimes I just wish people would come just and get ministered to on Sunday mornings. Like, you don't have to decide if you like the songs or not. You don't have to decide if you like the preaching. You don't have to decide if you agree with the scripture usage. Just let God minister to you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information about Awaken Church, please visit our website, awakenmac.com. That's awakenmac.com.